Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
So we've made it all the way up to Colossians 4. We'll get through this book eventually. So we're going to look at just one verse this morning. We call the message "Look." Let's have our eyes open. So Colossians 4, verse 2. NIV says, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, thankful." The New Living Translation says, "Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart." The message says, "Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude." That's it. Pray. Be alert. Give thanks. If you remember nothing else, keep those words with you this week. We'll unpack that a little bit. But as we get ready to do that, let's pray. Father, use this time to wake us up. Wake us out of any lethargy or dullness or blindness. Create in us hearts that see you. You are ever present, all the time. Turn us, Lord. Turn our hearts towards you. Lord, my words can't do anything unless you're in them, unless you empower them, unless you take them into our lives. So, Lord, I confess my total dependence on you and my total confidence in you that you can do this. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The word devote yourself, it's pretty obvious. It means to commit ourselves to something. And what we're supposed to devote ourselves to is talking to God, which is prayer. Having our eyes open, being watchful, seeing what's going on around us, and being thankful. And that word devote covers all those three. It's all interconnected. Pray, and as you pray, have your eyes open, be watchful. And as you're being watchful, as you're seeing what's going on, give thanks. We're to be devoted to that. And that means that we need to be intentional, an intentional commitment, something to practice, something we make space for, something we give energy to, something we're disciplined about, talking to and with God, keeping our eyes open, giving thanks, being thankful. We've talked a lot about prayer in the past, and we'll come back to that, because in the next couple of verses, Paul says, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." But I want to focus this morning particularly on being watchful and being thankful. And in fact, you'll find those commands interspersed throughout the entire New Testament, which seems to say to me that this isn't something we do naturally. It's something we have to be intentional about again. A few weeks ago, we were in Colossians 3, verse 15 to 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Be thankful three times within three verses. It's not something we restrict to Thanksgiving. It's something that Paul says, and throughout the New Testament we read it. Be thankful. Give thanks. Demonstrate gratitude. Be watchful. That has to do with keeping our eyes open. To see what we're inclined not to see. Being vigilant. Looking past the surface things. To see things in the unseen world. Keeping our eyes open to see what God is doing. Keeping our eyes open to see what the enemy is doing. We need to be aware that we're in a spiritual battle. There's a war zone that we live in. And the normal person who's not filled with God's Spirit or in tune with God's Spirit, they just see the normal stuff. Their whole context is the physical world. But kingdom people, as people who follow Jesus, we're to have our eyes open so we see more than that. Keep our eyes open. What's God up to? What is God doing? And give thanks for that. Keep your eyes open to what the enemy is up to. And keep vigilant. And the assumption in all of that is God is active in everything. God is at work. You see that again. Many places throughout the New Testament. John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always working, and so am I." God doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't need an afternoon nap. In Acts 17, Paul's talking to the philosophers in Athens. And he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples made by human hands. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." Yeah, there's kings and kingdoms and wars and fightings, but God has orchestrated things so that people seek him. Yesterday afternoon, I went down to the Port of Aurelian, sat on a bench there, and had one of the books I'm reading in preparation for teaching Acts in Ethiopia this fall. And I'm sitting there reading this book and drinking my Mariposa coffee, and I'm looking up and I'm reflecting. You know, Aurelia is becoming very multicultural, and I notice all sorts of different Asian faces going by. And a couple of boats were being launched from the port, and they turned their radio on as they were going out. It was Arabic music playing. And this guy comes along, and he takes a look at my book, and he looks at it, and he says, "Can I sit down?" And for the next hour, this guy who has recently immigrated to Canada from mainland China, and we started talking about Taoism and faith. Our eyes open. Are we willing to listen? And we began this whole discussion around, is God in everything? Versus the contrast between God's the maker of everything. Do we worship the creator or do we worship creation? Are our eyes open to see the opportunities for conversation around faith? God is always at work, even in the midst of some really hard stuff, to bring about as much redemption as possible, as much goodness as possible, as much blessing as possible. God is at work to further his kingdom. God's always working to minimize evil. He created a world where people and angelic beings are free to choose. And God doesn't coerce them. Otherwise, they wouldn't have free will. Wouldn't have free will to make a choice to follow him or to be against him. And God wants us to choose him. But there's evil. There's tough stuff. There's bad stuff that happens in this world. There's things that are messed up. But it's never because of God. In fact, if God wasn't present, things would be much worse. He's the one who is minimizing the evil and furthering the good. And part of what that means is there hasn't been a nanosecond of your life where God was not present. A nanosecond is one followed by nine zeros. It's just a very, very small period of time. There hasn't been a fraction of a second from the very beginning of your life where God hasn't been working to bring blessing, to bring about good, to working to minimize evil. Even in your darkest moments, in those moments when you feel most alone and most rejected, you are not alone. You were not rejected by God. God was present. And however bad the situation was, it would have been far worse if God hadn't been there. And no matter how much evil there was, it would have been far more if God had not been pushing it back. His eyes have always been on you. His love has always been towards you. His concern has always been for you. You know, we sang a song a few minutes ago. His love never fails. His love never gives up. His love never runs out on me. And don't just think about those as empty words. You know, let that promise, that truth resonate in those deep places in your heart, in your soul, in your being this week. Some of you have been through some pretty nightmarish stuff. And God's heart breaks over that. He's not behind any of that causing it. God is always at work to redeem your nightmares, to minimize the nightmare, to bring good out of it, to turn every situation into something better. He's always on the side of the good. He's always on your side and has been every single moment of your life. And to be watchful means we have our eyes open. to see that God is present. Notice the good that God is doing and give thanks to Him for that. Never take Him for granted. Of course there's evil at work. Satan and his demons, they're at work in this world. Jesus said in John 10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes to lead us in temptation. He tries to destroy us. But in contrast, Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. God's bringing life while the enemy wants to bring death. God's bringing the good while the enemy brings the evil. And as kingdom people, people who live in this war zone, we're supposed to be aware of all that. Aware of that contrast, aware of that battle, and be noticing it and be resisting the evil and participating in the good and giving thanks for what God is doing. In fact, James tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Every good gift comes from the Father. And there's many people who mediate, who offer the goodness of God. And we give thanks to and for them. But ultimately, that goodness comes from the Father. If God was not doing His good work in this world, things would be far worse than they are. See the good. Give thanks for it. The fact that the New Testament tells us that so many times, to be watchful and to give thanks and to pray, I think tells us that's something we don't do naturally. We can only do it if we're being devoted to it, if we're intentional, if we're making those commitments. If we're not intentionally staying awake and being grateful, we fall asleep. We stop noticing God. We stop being thankful. If we're not being intentional about being devoted, we start to drift along and go in the opposite direction. We drift along with the world. We degenerate. We stop seeing what we're supposed to see. We stop responding the way we're to respond. We begin to become ungrateful. In fact, one of the most serious issues that kingdom people face is that we just sort of drift. And there are some people whose faith seems to crash and burn because of a tragedy, and their faith can't explain it because they come up against a skeptic who throws out arguments they can't answer. But for the most of us, it doesn't happen that way. The greatest threat, and we've all faced this, is if you've been a serious kingdom person for very long, as you've struggled with this, you go through a slow process of decay. You sort of drift away in slow motion. If we haven't been watchful, haven't been vigilant, haven't been intentionally grateful. Well, we'll still say we believe. We believe in God, believe in Jesus. We'll still do some kingdom stuff, but there's no longer reality. We don't see Jesus daily. And our worldview basically becomes the same as everybody else. You believe a few different things, but it doesn't make a difference in your life. You fall asleep. You don't talk about Jesus. You used to see God at work in your life. It was a present reality. You used to be grateful for what He was doing. It was a passion to follow Him. And grace and salvation and redemption and forgiveness meant something new. There was joy that bubbled up. But we're not being vigilant and watchful and grateful. Those things become just something we believe. Check mark we can put on a piece of paper somewhere. But that life of Jesus no longer makes us fully alive in Him. We talk about the same stuff as everyone talks about. There's nothing wrong with that, but we don't bring a kingdom perspective to the table. We talk about the weather and sports and politics. But what's the Lord doing in your life? You used to talk about that. You don't, because you're not seeing Him at work. It takes vigilance to see God at work today. Not just, Jesus died on the cross for me some 2,000 years ago. But what's God at work today? That's the greatest threat, because it happens without us noticing it. You see, the enemy you see is not the real threat. The one you don't see, that's the greatest enemy. It's not the catastrophic events. It's the routine we get into where we lose the reality of the presence of God. And we end up going through the motions. We become stagnant. We become self-focused. And the longer we persist in that state of stagnation, the less and less we see God. And the more stagnant a pond gets, the more it begins to smell. And the more our lives become stagnant, the more they stink. the more they get stale. No, we still believe. We still go to church. We still do some things. But the vibrancy, the passion, the joy is gone. It's no longer part of our experience. Belief doesn't intersect and impact our life. And so we fall asleep. We can fall asleep in our relationship with Jesus. We can fall asleep in our marriages. You know, you get married and you're full of passion and excitement and love. But if you're not communicating, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is communicating with God. If you're not sharing your heart, sharing with each other, you start taking each other for granted. And we get caught up in the cycle. You know, you raise the kids, you change the diapers, you take out the garbage, you go to work, you pay the bills, you watch TV, you hang out with friends. But there's no spark, there's no passion. The reality of your love is gone. And eventually you wake up married to a stranger. Life never stays the same. It's always moving. We're always changing. It's supposed to be that way. Growing, changing. And if the river of our lives are not intersecting, we're moving in different directions. I don't know how many people I've heard say over the years, after they've been married for 10, 15, 5, 20 years, "You're not the person I married." And they're right. And neither should the other person be. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be changing in our relationships. The problem is not change, but the problem is, are we changing together? You're looking into each other, being thankful. Same with our relationship with God. If we're not communicating with Him, if we're not praying, if we're not talking to Him, if we're not reading His Word, if we're not listening to Him, if we're not putting ourselves in a place where we can hear from Him, not walking with Him, not noticing that He's ever present, ever active, we take Him for granted. And we become a stranger to God. And so it begins to feel very strange to talk about Jesus with others. You can still say you believe, but your reality no longer includes that active relationship with God. For all intents and purposes, we become a practical atheist. We don't walk with Him. We don't talk with Him. The joy you used to have isn't there. You used to get excited about serving for the sake of the kingdom and seeing people's lives transformed, and now it's, let somebody else do it. You're not staying in touch with the reality of who Jesus is, with the reality of who the Father is, with the reality of who the Spirit is, the reality of His kingdom. And everything becomes a duty. You still do it, but you're not doing it because that's the way God wants you to do it. Paul said, let the love of Christ compel us. But if that love of Christ isn't a reality, if it isn't a part of your day-to-day life, part of the way you see the world, part of the way you experience the world, you don't have any energy, any fuel to run on. And you run on those fuels that other people throw at you. You should do this. You ought to do this. You need to do this because. You feel guilty if you don't do it. But the vibrancy, the passion is gone. We need to stay awake. We need to be noticing. You could say we should be staying alive. Maybe a few minutes, too much connotations of the Bee Gees there. See, if we're not focused, if we're not staying alive in God, the reality of the kingdom sort of bottoms out on us. It doesn't intersect with the way we experience the world at all, with the way we experience God. And if you find yourself in that position, and maybe you're here this morning, you're going, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Or you've been in that position. And all of us have struggled with that at times. There's always this downward pull in this world. We tend to atrophy. We tend to slow down. God, the ever-present, the ever-active God, is here right now. He's right in front of you. Closer than that, actually. He's closer to you than your own sin. Seeing, you know, your own skin. And not just in the peaceful scenes. You know, I love the memes we have on Facebook and other places. You know that God's always everywhere present. It's always a nice scene. But God's also always everywhere present in places like the Kibera slum in Nairobi, Kenya. God is very present there. And when I was there a couple of years ago, you know, worshiping with believers, we knew that God was there in that community. If you're feeling stagnant, remember, God is present. God is imploring you. And we need to listen to hear the voice of the Spirit talking to us through the Apostle Paul this morning. Hear the Lord God saying, let Him touch your heart. See, that's another thing we lose when we stop paying attention. We lose sight of what's going on inside of us. Our soul, that deep place inside of us where God talks to us by His Spirit. And if you listen hard, if you listen really hard, you hear the Lord saying, come back to me. I miss you. Do you remember the joy we used to have? Do you remember the passion we used to have? Do you remember the love we used to share? Do you remember what it was like to have me in your life? I miss it. I miss you. Notice me. Notice me. Look at me afresh. I've never stopped loving you. I've never left you. You've got distant from me. You've pushed me away. But I have never left you. Let's rekindle our first love. That's what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in the last book of the Bible. You've forsaken the love you had at first. You've lost your first love. And Jesus is saying, come back to me. Talk with me. I am devoted. I'm committed. I'm present with you. So if you find yourself in that, how do you make your way back? Well, the answer is right here in Colossians 4:2. Devote yourself. Devote yourself to communicating, to talking with God. Devote yourself to looking for what God is doing. And throughout the day, and every good thing is ultimately from God. Be looking for Him so He becomes real in your life again. Devote yourself to being thankful. Give thanks to God for every good thing that you see. That's how we rekindle that life, that vibrancy. It's so easy in our culture, in our world, to be negative. You know, Jesus didn't come to give us a new belief system. He came to give us a new reality. He came to give us life. Life to the full. Yeah, sure, okay, it requires a belief to get in on the reality, but the belief isn't the reality. Reality is what keeps our eyes open. Remember, in high school, seeing the play by Thornton Wilder called Our Town. Anybody seen that play? A few of you have seen it. It's a play about death. This woman, Emily, she's 26. She dies giving birth to her second child. And she goes to the place of the dead. And she learns that she's able to go back and relive one day in her life. And all the other spirits in this place say, don't do it. It's going to be painful. You're going to be miserable. Don't do it. But she chooses to do it anyway. And so she chooses to go back to the day of her 12th birthday. And Emily watches with joy at being able to see her parents, being able to see some of the people from her childhood for the first time in many, many years. However, her joy quickly turns to pain as she realizes how little people appreciate the simple joys of life. And at one point, her mother's preparing the meal, and Emily says, and she knows that her mother can't hear her, but she still says it, "Oh, Mama, just look at me 1 minute, as though you really saw me. Mama, 14 years have gone by. I'm dead. But just for a moment, now we're all together. Mama, just for a moment, we're happy. Let's look at one another. Let's look at one another. Let's just look at one another and really see one another." It's a powerful scene. And then the memory becomes increasingly painful for her, and she realizes that every single moment of life should be treasured. And she says, "I can't. I can't go on. It goes so fast. We don't have time to look at one another. I didn't realize. So all that was going on, and we never noticed. Take me back, up the hill, to my grave." And at the very end, and in this play, she talks to the stage manager. And she asks, does anyone really understand the value of life while they live it? Does anyone really realize the value of life? Or does it take dying to realize it? And the stage manager responds, "No. The saints and the poets, maybe, they do some." And one of the things I think while they're saying in this play is don't sleep through life. Walk through life. Don't go through life blinded by the routine, by what we get used to, by what we take for granted. Wake up to the freshness of every moment, to the beauty of every day, of every person. Look at each other. Grab the now. Live in the present moment. Be awake and live and be present right now. That's what makes life life. That's so essential to all of our relationships. See, you can glance or you can look. You can look or you can really look. Do we notice the little things? Do we do life with our eyes wide open? Notice life. You know, there's some stuff we need to push aside and not ignore. But notice the beautiful stuff. Be grateful for it. Do it with your spouse, with your kids, with your grandkids, with your friends, with your neighbors. Really look at them for their uniqueness. Notice the way you interact. Appreciate it. Because we don't know whether we'll be here tomorrow. And in that play, Emily was right. This world is too wonderful for most people to really see. Open your eyes. Not just the big stuff, but the little stuff. The wonder of the trees and the clouds. We were sitting in my patio earlier this week, and there was a little 3-centimeter long hummingbird that came to our planter. Or the 7 squirrels that were scurrying through one of our trees. You know, looking at the flowers, the stars, the closeness of Mars this week. Notice stuff. Don't fall asleep. There's wonder all around us. There's beauty all around us. Yes, there's lots of ugly stuff, war and hate and nasties, but there's a ton of beautiful stuff. Open your eyes. It's a gift from God. And if you can see it with fresh eyes, gratitude begins to well up in our hearts. And you'll be more alive. And that spills into our relationships. It spills, most importantly, into our relationship with God. Stay watchful. Be awake. Never take anything for granted. And in noticing the little things, you're noticing the beauty of God because He's the Creator and the Sustainer. All good things, all good gifts come from God. Goodness in all that's good, and beauty in all that's beautiful, and joy in all that's joyful. And we identify Him as we notice that. Stay awake. It's God who is at work in all things, at all times, in all people, to work for the good and the beautiful, to work for the truth. Don't take it for granted. Paul says be devoted to this, to lifestyle and intentionality. Notice where God is. Notice what God is doing and give thanks for that. Give thanks to Him for that. And you will in time. It's not going to happen overnight, but you'll find the spark, the joy, the passion in your relationship with God rekindled. And God moves from being simply a belief system to being real. You start to notice Him. And the reality of the kingdom comes alive again. And you're the person He wants you to be. Yeah, and that's what we've been talking about over the summer. As we've talked about bells, you know, blessing others and eating with others and listening to God in each other and learning the ways and the habits of God and seeing ourselves as being sent by God into this world. You can't will your way back into this. It's not about trying hard or, you know, pulling up your socks, gritting your teeth, you know, all those cliched, absolutely useless phrases. It doesn't work like that. You can't will the reality of God. You notice the reality of God. You acknowledge it. You participate in it. You invite the reality of God and His kingdom into your life. And as you begin to notice and experience God's presence day by day, as you're living in this messed up world, we see God at work. Very, very quickly, 3 quick thoughts on how to stay awake. How do we stay alert? Because when we walk out of this auditorium, we're going into the same old world with all of the demands and pressures that can bore us and drag us to death. It can sap the life right out of us. So how do you stay awake? First of all, pay attention to your soul. Listen to your soul. Pay attention to the promptings and the pain in your heart. When you're doing life on autopilot, it's easy to ignore that. But make space to listen. What are the urges? What are the promptings that are there? What's the pain that's going on there? Where's the anxiety, the nervousness, the depression? Pay attention to that. See, if we're not vigilant about our soul, about our heart, about our inner being, we end up doing life on autopilot. We end up coasting. We end up drifting. Your soul was designed to grow. When we aren't growing, we experience pain. Pain's one of those ways our soul communicates that something is wrong. It's like someone hands you down, as a young teen, your older brother gives you their old shoes. But they're too small for you, and they hurt. And if we stay in that for too long, our feet actually get deformed. The pain is a sign that there's change that needs to take place. And maybe you're growing along and you're saying, and you're 48 years old, and it seems like God is saying, this has to drop out of your life. And you're thinking, why now? God, I've been walking with you for years. And God's saying, you weren't ready for this before. But now it has to go as I prepare you for what's next. See, God is always saying new things. So I have to keep changing and keep listening. The way you were doing things before is not how you're going to do things now. You can't do life on autopilot. Scan your soul. What's going on? When you find that pain or that problem, instead of ignoring that, look at it. Why is it there? What's it about? What are you teaching me, Lord? What do you want to transform in me? Where do you want to bring healing? And when you find that painful thing, offer it to God and see how God wants to work to bring good. Second thing is pay attention to new developments. It's not just about the promptings of pain. Listen to the new things that capture your attention. Those could be signs that God's doing that new thing. You know, when we live life on autopilot, we tend to assume that what was and is now, so shall it ever be. But that's not the way God works. His character stays the same. But what God does changes all the time. You know, the same today and yesterday and today and tomorrow. You know, that's boring, boring, boring. We don't make space for the new things. When the new things come along, we tend to ignore it. We tend to push it away. But when we're watchful for God, when we're watchful for the new things He's up to, He wants to blossom that. Wants to pour out His goodness. And then thirdly, apply this to all of our relationships. It's not just about God. As important, and that's absolutely primary, but we shouldn't take any relationship for granted. Make sure none of your relationships are in a rut. Don't coast along. Be intentional. Be disciplined in watching and being thankful for the other relationships in your life. Tonight is such a great opportunity to hang out together and to celebrate together and to eat together and to spend time with one another. And so if you hadn't thought about coming along for the barbecue and baptism tonight, change your mind right now and plan on coming along. Keep your eyes open. Be watchful. Be ever watchful. Because God is present, always active. But if we do life on autopilot, we're going to miss it. We do life on autopilot, you've already begun to die. We just haven't put you in the ground yet. But life in Christ is all about being fully alive, fully awake, seeing with fresh eyes, participating in the new things, the ongoing things that God is doing in you, in your family, with your friends, at OCC, in your neighborhood, in our city, and in our world. The spark, the passion, and the joy comes back. And that's what kingdom is all about. Amen. Let's pray. Abba, Fathers, as we leave here and go out into a mundane world that's mostly the same day to day, help us never to give in to blandness and lethargy. Enable us to stay awake, to stay alive, to stay ever present to you, to stay watchful, to stay thankful for the sake of your kingdom. And all Jesus' people said, Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.